with the syndrome and fit the psychological profile perfectly. She was overcommitted professionally, extremely hardworking and compulsive about her responsibilities. To my embarrassment, the symptoms did not respond to the usual therapeutic program. On the contrary, they continued to be severe for many weeks. Thinking there might be something serious going on that was mimicking TMS, I arranged for a neurologic consultation. The physical examination and all tests were normal. After many weeks, the symptoms began to subside, and as they did, we both realized why they had started in the first place and why she was now getting better. The trouble began when she was informed that she was going to lose a very important member of her research team. In anticipation of that event, an enormous amount of work had to be done, and my patient dreaded the woman's departure. Hence, a great deal of anxiety and undoubtedly a lot of deep-down anger at this unfortunate turn of events was generated. The unconscious mind is not particularly logical about such things. Total disappearance of symptoms coincided with the actual departure of the valued colleague, suggesting that with a fait accompli, there was no longer any need for the TMS. She regained full range of motion of the shoulder without benefit of physical therapy. This was a classic pinched nerve diagnosis, except that it wasn't. As the case clearly demonstrates, TMS exists in the service of psychological phenomena. To attribute symptoms to a structural abnormality is a sad diagnostic error. Facet is the technical name for a joint between two spinal bones. Like all joints, they are subject to wear and tear and begin to look abnormal as we get along in years. It is believed that these changes cause pain in some patients. In my experience, they do not. What is generally meant when the term arthritis of the spine is used is osteoarthritis or osteoarthrosis. These refer to the normal aging changes we've been talking about. They are also referred to as spondylosis. I have not found that this is pathological, therefore not productive of symptoms. Rheumatoid arthritis is an entirely different matter. It is an inflammatory process which can strike at any joint in the body and is always painful. Transitional vertebra is a congenital abnormality in which there is an extra bone at the lower end of the spine, usually attached to the pelvic bone. It often gets the blame when found in the presence of back pain. Spondylolysis is another defect in a vertebral bone, easily detected on X-ray and rarely responsible for back pain in my experience. Spina bifida occulta is still another congenital abnormality at the end of the spine, but in this one, there is a piece of bone missing. Once more, pain is historically but mistakenly attributed to this defect. Spondylolisthesis is an abnormality in which two vertebral bones, usually at the lower end of the spine, are not correctly aligned with each other. It is a scary-looking thing on X-ray, but I have found it to be uniformly benign. It would be imprecise to say that spondylolisthesis never causes back pain, but thus far, I have not seen a patient in whom it did. Between 1976 and 1980, two Israeli physicians reported the results of studies they had done to determine whether certain spinal abnormalities caused back pain. Their method was to compare the X-rays of people with and without a history of back pain. If people with back pain had these abnormalities more commonly, one could presume that the abnormalities might be the cause of the pain. They found no statistical difference in the incidence of degenerative osteoarthritis, transitional vertebra, spina bifida occulta, and spondylolysis between the two groups. There was a small statistical difference for spondylolisthesis. In other words, one could not attribute back pain to these disorders, with the possible exception of spondylolisthesis. Scoliosis refers to an abnormal curvature of the spine commonly seen in teenage girls and usually persisting into adult life. Its cause is unknown. It rarely causes pain in teenagers, but is often blamed for back pain in adults. I have not yet found this to be the case. The following case history is typical. The patient was a woman in her 30s who had suffered recurrent attacks of back pain since her teens. Several years before I saw her, she had experienced a severe attack at a time when she was taking care of her young children. Mild scoliosis, to which the pain was attributed, was seen on x-rays. She was told her back pain would gradually worsen as she got older. Despite this dire prediction, she recovered from that episode and did fairly well until 2 months before I saw her, when she had a bad attack. She said it began when she was bending over and, quote, felt something snap. She was further frightened because her trunk was tilted to one side. On taking her history, I learned that over the years she had experienced a number of episodes of tendonitis in the arms and legs, occasional pain in the neck and shoulders, stomach and colon symptoms, hay fever, and severe headaches. A classic TMS patient. The physical examination was normal, except for the usual tenderness on palpation of muscles in the neck, shoulders, back, and buttocks. She had no trouble accepting the diagnosis, participated in the treatment program, and was soon pain-free. She later reported that there had been no more attacks, that she sometimes had mild pain, but knew it was harmless and went about her life without fear. It is clear that scoliosis was not the source of her pain, since nothing in the treatment changed the scoliosis. It is equally clear that her personality predisposed her to a variety of benign physical ailments, including TMS. Osteoarthritis of the hip is well known among laymen because it is common and because of the dramatic surgical procedure in which the entire hip joint is replaced. The patient gets a new socket and a new ball, the head of the femur, to fit into it. This is certainly one of the great triumphs of reconstructive surgery. What necessitates this operation is the overgrowth of bone and the wearing away of the cartilage of the joint, so that it loses range of motion and becomes dysfunctional. It is also alleged that these osteoarthritic joints are painful, and that may be so in some cases. One must, however, be very careful, for I have seen a number of patients whose, quote, hip pain was clearly due to a manifestation of TMS. Just recently I saw such a case. The patient was a woman in her 60s who complained of hip pain. X-ray of the hip joint showed only moderate osteoarthritic change, to which